In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I have exciting, wondrous news for you today. The news of this gospel. It's in context with the other gospels that we've been reading to come up to Great Lent. It's also even in context with the other parts of Matthew chapter 25, because we think of the gospel in chapters, but really there's cohesive thoughts. And the parable of the 10 virgins and the parable of the talents precedes our Lord's teaching about the last judgment, and it kind of figures in. Life is simple. We're sinners. We don't deserve God's grace. So how are we to act? God loves us, so we should love. We will be evaluated in the last judgment about whether we have acquired this love that God has and have distributed this love to others. It's pretty simple. All of the examples are of giving something to someone else. Someone is hungry, you feed them, thirsty, you give them to drink, naked, you clothe them, sick or in prison, you visit them. This means caring about other human beings. Not because of some sort of social gospel, but because Jesus Christ cares about human beings. God created human beings to know him. If we are to live a perfect life, it is impossible for this to happen without loving others. So this gospel, which has some pretty terrible things in it about going to everlasting punishment and all those sorts of things, and there's lots of symbolism there, and you should know it. Like I tell you almost every time, you should know it. You should read the Gospels. You should become conversant in the language of the Gospels. You should understand their metaphors and all that stuff. But then, if you understand their metaphors and all the context, then really the message should just jump out. And the message is love. Now, in the context of the preparation for Great Lent, this gospel plays a part. So what happened just a little while ago? We had the publican and the Pharisee, right? And the publican is saying, I'm unworthy. God cleanse me, a sinner. And the Pharisee's judging and full of pride and full of arrogance and doesn't know his own sins and then judging other men. He doesn't have any love in his heart. He only has self-satisfaction. This parable is teaching us how we are to approach God. I'm unworthy, and yet God will help us. That's what Great Lent is all about. I've told you many times that. I hope you understand that. I hope you see that in the services and in the prayers. Prayers say, I'm unworthy, but help me. But there's a sort of a requirement. If you're going to ask God to help you, you're going to have to do what he says if you ask him to help you. And basically, he says love. Now, there might be things you can't do. Maybe you can't, you can't be free of irritation or cussing or laziness or stuff like that. Whatever. Whatever sin or sins. But you can love. You can choose to love. Which means that you don't backbite people. You help people. You think the best of people. Love is a very simple virtue, but it's complex in how it plays out because it's how you interact with people. So there's many ways to not love. There's only one way to love, and that is to act as God would act towards a person. So we have the parable of the publican and the Pharisee teaching us how to approach God, how to judge our brother undoes us. It is the antithesis of love, and you can't be saved if you judge your brother. Then we come to the prodigal son, and we learn about that God receives repentance, even when we're really, really sinful, because the prodigal son was really sinful, and he receives repentance. But there's another aspect there, and that is that that prodigal son had to come to his senses. So what that always tells me, right before Great Lent, okay, Seraphim, this is a time for you to be a little less crazy, for you to actually understand something about how to live that you haven't understood before, to come to yourself. To me, Great Lent is this period of time of trying to become more sane. And I don't mean sane in a clinical way. You know, I'm not crazy. I don't see things and et cetera. But in a spiritual way, I'm not even close to sane yet because we live in a delusional life, all of us. And we're trying to be free of that delusion so that we can see God as he is and live as we should. The parable of the prodigal son is teaching us this. You have to come to yourself, and then you have to go to God. And God will receive you. So you have to have the right attitude. God, I'm unworthy. And not to judge any other man, because you're just busy knowing that you're unworthy. And going to God, and God will receive you. Then we come to this gospel, and we find the criteria, the sole criteria for how you will be, if you will be saved. It's not whether or not you've always had a prayer rule, or even, despite the fact that I tell you to do it all the time, that you read the Bible, or that you come to church, or that you're disciplined in your life in this way or that way. It's, do you love? Now, if you love as God loves, God will help you with all the other things too. But the priority is to love. So I would prefer us to look at this, not so much trying to understand every little bit of it, but that this is telling you very good news. Those of you who can't stop sinning, you can start being more kind, and you can be saved. That's the news that it's telling you. So this great Lent, you can struggle to love more. Start with the people around you, and then expand to your circle ever wider, from your family to your coworkers, the church, your neighbors, etc., etc. I think the primary tool that you must use for this is to pray more for people. That's critically important, and you can decide to pray more and do better during Great Lent. And then maybe you'll even carry that habit over past Great Lent. But this is wondrous news. I hope you understand how beautiful this news is. Because we can't be pure. We can't always have good thoughts. We can't always be disciplined. But we can love. Because God has made us in His image. And God is love. So this Great Lent, it's a good idea. It's actually not just a good idea. It's the only idea. It's the only idea that brings life. You should struggle to find yourself a little bit more, to love a little bit more, to think more of others than yourself. There's a thousand ways that you can do this. You can do them in formal ways, but also just as your day goes by, how you react to people, that you reach out to people that need help, that you have sort of radar that sees that people need help instead of just kind of bebopping through your day and not seeing that there are people that need help. As I said just a little while ago, I don't think you can do it without prayer. So you should think about those people in your life and perhaps those things that you see in life that really sadden you, that particularly resonate with you, and pray for those people, whether by name or whether by category. It's expanding. I can't even tell you how much it is now. Probably about 70 categories of different things that really bother me about the world. People who are very lonely, or people who feel that they don't fit in, or people who've had abortions and they're really struggling with the guilt of that, or people who have been abused. Also people who are abusive. All those categories and many, many more I pray for. And I would recommend that you try something like that, to think more about others than yourself, including the others that aren't doing very good and the ones that aren't very good, the people that are doing bad things, because God loves them the same as He loves us. So this gospel fundamentally is saying you will be judged on whether or not you have acquired love. By the way, the parable of the 10 virgins is basically that too, and that precedes this gospel. The Lord speaks of the 10 virgins. And of course, virginity is an idea. The ideal of virginity is that it's a very virtuous thing. So we have 10 virtuous women, but only 5 that were truly, really virtuous, because they acquired, as St. Seraphim teaches, the Holy Spirit. And you only acquire the Holy Spirit if you love. And so when the 10 virgins are told, the 5 that have their lamps going out because their oil is going out, they don't have enough oil, and the bridegroom's coming, which of course is the judgment. Then the 5 wise virgins say, go out to the poor and go out to those who sell it and get some oil. Well, that's really the poor. And of course, poor don't sell oil. If they sold oil, they wouldn't be poor. But what they're acquiring is the love of God by loving others. That's what's happening. And so then we come to the parable of the talents, which precedes this gospel. And it's the same kind of idea. God gives us his love, his talents, his grace. And we either use his grace to good or we don't use it at all. And those who use his grace acquire more. And the medium of exchange is not whether or not you are good at something or smart at something or a good organizer or have a PhD or are very good at talking or whatever. That's not the talent. The talent is God gives you himself. And if he gives you himself, what is he giving you? Love. And then you must give love that has been given to you to others. So both the 10 virgins and the talents is about love. And then the Lord really ties it together in this rather frightening, to be honest with you, if you read it in a certain way, story about the judgment. But I prefer not to read it in a frightening way. Even psychologists know that you don't really motivate people by fear. You motivate them by reward. But even more than reward, because God is not just giving us things as rewards in order to motivate us. He's giving us himself. And when you have God in your heart, then you have this peace that passes all understanding. Here's how you are evaluated. Do you love? It's pretty simple and pretty wonderful. So this great Lent, you should fast more strictly than you've ever fasted before. You should pray more than you prayed before. You should do those sorts of things. But not because they're just stuff that you're supposed to do, but because they aid you. We know they aid us. Because the church understands from long experience that fasting sharpens the intellect. And you can see better with your soul. You can see the truth better when you fast. It's just true. Now, if you haven't fasted very much before, try it. You'll find out some things that you didn't know before. And then also the additional prayer, trying to really have the heart of the publican. I'm unworthy. And yet, remember what the Lord said about the publican. One of the most beautiful things in the whole gospel. One of my favorite verses of the gospel. This man went away justified. This man went away God helping him to become righteous, rather than the one who said, I'm better than everybody else. So make sure you don't think you're better than everybody else. Do put in the work, put in the labor, put in the prostrations, so that you can be more open to God and you can love. That's the whole purpose of all the asceticism, is so that you could open your heart, or God will help you open your heart, because we don't really know how to open our hearts, do we? We know how to do some things that will assist God in opening our hearts. But he will never open our hearts without our consent. See, we have to ask him. And we don't ask him just by words. We ask him by our actions. So this great Lent, let's learn to love a little bit better. That's how you will be evaluated. I think you can do that. And there are a lot of things you can't do. Maybe you'll never be able to do. Maybe all your life there'll be things that will be imperfections and sins in your life. But if you can learn to love, then you can be like God. And God will see you at the end of the judgment, and he says, I know you. He knows us because he sees himself in us. The ones that he doesn't know, he says, I don't know you. They were given the talent. They were given the oil. They were given the love, but they didn't use it. It's a terrible thing that happens to them. May God help us to love. It's the whole purpose. And I hope that you have an asceticism about you this great Lent, more than you did before, but all with one purpose, to learn to love like God loves. May God bless you and help you in all things.